This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Think about ideal images of downtowns and village centers. Neat storefronts with thriving businesses, neighbors bumping into one another, and public places for people to gather. Our next guest might argue that these things are possible when we intentionally design our downtowns to be walkable, to get people out of cars and off of high-speed throughways, and get them walking through town from home to work, to errands, to socializing. Philip Langdon is the author of Within Walking Distance, Creating Living Communities for All. The book profiles six cities across the country, including the town of Brattleboro. Phil joins us from his home in New Haven, Connecticut. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
I'm glad to be with you.
So your writing focuses on urban planning. Can you give us your pitch then? What makes walkable towns better than sprawling suburbs?
In my view, walkable places are better for people because, for one thing, they get more exercise. That's just sort of a natural response to having things close by that they can walk to. Second thing is that people who don't have cars can reach things. They're not left out of the loop. And I think that it also leads to people knowing other people in their community more than they would otherwise do. And that, you know, strengthens community ties and makes people more satisfied with the conditions of life in their community. And it's good for the decision-making of the community, too.
But those things don't just happen naturally when you have a high enough concentration of people in a small area?
Well, you do need to have a reasonable density of people so that you can, in fact, support stores and shops and cafes and other things. I think in Brattleboro, one of the things that impressed me was that the main street actually was built mainly in the late 19th and very early 20th century, and it's been kept incredibly intact. And in a lot of towns, you go in and you see, missing teeth. You see places where buildings have been knocked down, and that's really not the case very much on Main Street in Brattleboro. So it depends on really, in some ways, people saw that they really wanted to keep a viable center of town. And in Brattleboro, they've done some things like pushing the sidewalks further out into the street so that it's more comfortable for pedestrians, and providing crosswalks that are very visible and a shorter distance to cross, which is comfortable and safer for the pedestrians. I guess another thing that they've done in Brattleboro is that they've just made conscious decisions to keep certain things or build certain things in the downtown rather than elsewhere. One of the things that impressed me was the Brattleboro Food Co-op. It started in 1975 and grew in stages over the years. Several years ago, they said, well, we've outgrown our current location, which was in a little strip shopping center behind Main Street. And so they said, we need a bigger place. And they, the co-op members debated where they should go. They could have moved out to a strip shopping center on Putney Road, but they debated it a lot, and ultimately they decided that for the good of the community as a whole and for those who don't have cars, it'd be better to put it in the downtown. And so they decided to build it really at the foot of Main Street and do a somewhat urban building. It was going to be a two-story building. And then they debated some more, and they said, you know, affordable housing is something that would be really good to do. So then they collaborated with the Wyndham and Windsor Housing Trust, which then added two stories of affordable housing to the top of this building. So you ended up with a four-story building right where Canal Street meets Main Street, and it becomes an anchor for the downtown. So they've made a lot of decisions like that over the years.
Phil, you mentioned what you called very evocatively the missing teeth in some communities where buildings have actually been removed. In Brattleboro, it wasn't that a building was removed, but there was a big hole in the downtown community for quite a while. And I'm talking about Brooks House. How did that revitalization help contribute to a walkable Brattleboro?
Well, Brooks House is really a landmark on Main Street. It's this big mansard-style building of four to five stories that's been on Main Street since the 1870s, and it had a mix of things. It had apartments on the upper floors. It had shops and restaurants and bars on the ground floor, and then there was a fire. And the fire did tremendous damage, and the question was, how are we going to fix this thing up? Because if it's knocked down or just remains empty, it's going to be a big hole in the center of downtown. And what happened was that some local people, led pretty much by Robert Stevens, a local engineer whose office was just a couple blocks away on Main Street, came forward and figured out, boy, we need to raise a lot of money. They managed to figure out this very complicated package to do the rehabilitation and then figure out what are we going to put in it. And they said, you know, it'd be good to have a couple of community colleges. They managed to get restaurants and shops for the ground floor, and they put in some high-quality apartments up above. You know, they even went so far in raising money as to get local people to invest their individual retirement accounts in the project, which I've never heard being done before. It was really a Herculean effort because the amount of money they needed was very large. And Brattleboro is a town of 12,000, has a market area of 30,000 people or so. But boy, they did it, and they just kept at it. And now the building looks terrific, and it has occupants, and especially with the college students there, it adds to you know, the number of people going up and down Main Street.
You look at six communities in your book, and some are big, like Philadelphia and Chicago. Others medium-sized, so Portland, Oregon, your town of New Haven, Connecticut. And then there's the university town of Starksville, Mississippi. But by far the smallest community in your book is Brattleboro. Is there a through line for all of these communities, or is each walkable community different?
There are a lot of differences between one place and another, depending on, you know, the size of the population, the density, and local history. But one of the things that I look at in most of these places is what individuals or groups in each community set out to do. Because I think most of these places that thrive, there's an above-average amount of local participation and local effort, and people do things to start businesses, support them, and create public amenities. I mean, in Brattleboro, local people took down a dilapidated building and created the River Garden on Main Street for an indoor gathering place that also had a lookout over the back toward the Connecticut River. They started the Strolling of the Heifers because they wanted to both promote the dairy farmers in the area and get more people aware of reasons they should come to downtown. So they have a lot of imagination, and they put a lot of energy into getting things going locally. So a lot of it comes down to how much energy people locally are willing and able to put into making their community strong.
Well, for people who are hearing this and sort of feeling longing or wishing their towns were more walkable, what actions do you suggest? How can people change the design and shape of their towns or suburbs to support this kind of walkable community that you're talking about?
Well, in a lot of places that I've looked at, people formed small local organizations. In New Haven, for instance, in the East Rock section of New Haven where I live, a few people got together and they formed a thing called Upper Orange Street Neighbors, and they said, we need to make things look more attractive. We're going to build some combination seating and planters we'll put up along the streets. And we're going to work with merchants and the city to get merchants to put in outdoor patios in front of their shops. And then after that, people just started coming, and they got very popular. And so other merchants started doing that on their own without any money from the city. So I think that either getting involved in an existing local organization or setting up a small new one to look at what the neighborhood or town center needs and to see how you can go about making some improvements is a real catalyst for getting things going.
The book is called Within Walking Distance, Creating Livable Communities for All. It's by Philip Langdon, and it profiles six communities across the country, including Brattleboro, Vermont, and New Haven, Connecticut, where Phil lives. Phil, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Glad to be with you.